become the crew coach. Now, we have changed the name of the show from Your Mental Health to the Wellbeing Project. And the reason for this is that we love to reframe things, and reframing things in a more positive light is very, very important and an amazing tool to actually learn and use. And also to be aware that with well-being, it's all-inclusive and it needs to be addressed in all areas of our lives, from our job positions or careers to our personal life. And so we're going to cover a wide range of topics. And today our focus is on cross-cultural communication. My guest with us today, and we are very, very fortunate to have Kate Bellano with us, and she is a cross-cultural trainer in the maritime industry. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you, Corinne. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So before we begin, would you mind just giving us a little bit of context of how you got into the maritime industry and what you do or what you offer in terms of your services?
Of course. So I started my maritime career back in 2010 when I moved from Greece to England for my studies. Maritime has always been in the environment that I grew up with because my father is a marine engineer and both my siblings followed the same path. So it was inevitable. I couldn't avoid it even if I wanted to. So I started as a shipbroker in London, and then due to the fact that the personal situation changed and I had two young daughters, I had to figure a way to stay within the industry but still be able to be present with my daughters. So I decided to start my own business, and initially I was focusing exclusively on women in the maritime industry and helping them with their leadership skills and helping them accelerate their careers. Then as the business was progressing and I was also listening to what the market needs, I decided to niche down and focus more on something that comes really natural to me and focus on the cross-cultural communication amongst the people within the maritime industry, and more specifically between Greeks and Filipinos, because my mother is Filipina and my father is Greek. So it felt only as a natural path for me to follow.
Fascinating. What a journey. So your passion with regards to cross-cultural communication, so you have a very colourful background. What other core observations have you noticed that are necessary in a harmonious workplace?
The first step, as with any change, is actually to understand ourselves. Self-awareness is the first step to anything that we want to improve. So understanding where we're coming from and why we think or act the way we do, then we can understand that we all see situations from our personal perspective and more specifically from our own cultural perspective. So if we start with this and we all understand this first step, then we can proceed with understanding where the other person is coming from. And that's when the barriers start falling off. That's when we start letting go of judgment and prejudice. And we are more understanding and compassionate both with ourselves and the person that we're dealing with.
So what do you think are the largest causes of miscommunication?
I would say the fact that we expect people to perceive a situation or something that is being said or done from the same perspective that we do. And we take what we consider as normal situation or as a normal behavior, we take it for granted. And unfortunately, as human beings, we also expect the same behavior and the same reaction from the other person. But we are all different. And even if we come from the same culture, we still have our own personality and our personal, let's say, tendencies. So I think the main mistake is when we act in a certain way or we speak in a certain way and we mistake that as the right way to communicate with the other person.
Yeah, that is brilliant. And I also noticed that so often in the workplace, and with regards to a misunderstanding or respect for other people's values, because it doesn't mean that if your values are different to mine, that your values are wrong or my values are wrong. It just means they come in a different priority. And this was a big lesson for me when I was working in the prison. And my value is helping others. And this particular inmate, he had missed the class. And I just assumed that the guy next to him will share his homework and help him out and help him catch up, because I think that's the right thing to do, but under my lens. And he did not like it, and he got very cross with me. And I was quick to realize that I was imposing my values and belief system on him. He valued privacy over helping someone else.
Indeed. You're very right with that.
Yeah. Okay, so there was a recent and unfortunate incident that you were telling me about with regards to a suicide. What happened there?
So there was an incident on board a vessel, and there was a Filipino rating who had been facing some difficulties. As we know now, during the pandemic, it's been a very long time that a lot of seafarers are stuck on board the ship. So their mental health is being affected. And that specific person was mentally suffering. So he approached his superiors and he expressed the issues that he was facing and the way that he was feeling. But his superiors were European, so they didn't really grasp the severity of the situation. Because what needs to be understood by everyone, not within the maritime industry, but in general, English is the international language, but when people who don't have English as their first language speak it, we tend to translate what we want to say from our mother language to English. And sometimes what we want to say is not exactly what we are saying. And so when a Greek person speaks English, we tend to translate from Greek. And when Filipino speak English, it's different. So these two nationalities trying to communicate in English will naturally have some communication gaps in the conversation. So what happened with that incident is that there was an expression of the challenges, and there was the management team there that tried to be there for that person. But unfortunately, because there was a communication gap and the management team didn't really understand how serious the situation was, the Filipino rating ended up taking his own life. And unfortunately, when the reporting was done by the company, they realized that first of all, it could have been prevented. And secondly, the reason why it wasn't prevented was because of that cross-cultural communication gap. And that's really, really sad, because these things are very serious. We're talking about real people. We're not talking about numbers. We're not talking about a damage on board the vessel that it will cost us. But in the end, the most important thing is a person. So it's very sad that things are still happening that can be absolutely prevented.
And I think it's about putting life first, because I know in our industry, it's all about service and neglecting your own needs. So we tend to park the employees' needs in the corner rather than making it a priority. And it's part of this is including it as a process in terms of habit formation. So checking in with your employees and noticing the signs if something is going wrong, so that you can put the strategies and interventions in place before it is too late. And with that comes training and teaching people how to communicate. We think, I can converse with people, I can communicate, but it's so much more deeper than that.
Yes.
As you said, doing your own self-reflective work, self-awareness, which is number one in emotional intelligence, and active listening. So really listening to what the other person is saying, and then using your clarifying skills to repeat back what you heard so that, as you said, you can identify those communication gaps.
Indeed, indeed. And where the cultural factor plays in this situation is that the Filipino culture they want to be of service. So when, I'm sure most of you might have dealt at some point in your career with Filipinos, you will have noticed that they are trying to not really please in a people-pleasing way, but to do what they can to be liked by the employer, because there's also a fear behind it. As a culture, the Philippines, there's usually someone who is the main breadwinner, and it's not uncommon at all to be supporting a whole family, an extended family. So this whole family is depending on that person. So that person has a big responsibility on them. So in order for them to secure their family and themselves, they need to secure their job. So in order for them to do that, they will put the employer's needs first. So even if that means that they're sacrificing their health, either whether that's physical or mental, they tend to do it because they feel that that's the way they can support their family. And again, that's because it's a culture. In Greece, for example, it's the opposite. If Greeks feel that we are crossing the boundaries, or that their employer is crossing the boundaries, Greeks are more straightforward. So they're going to say, and they're going to stop it there and say, okay, this is not acceptable. I cannot do that. They will speak up. So it's a difference, again, in the culture. So where you're coming from and how much you can tolerate in its area of your career.
And that's a good word, is tolerate. So from the outside in, it looks like they are fine because they are masking it and they're tolerating it.
But
inside, they are broken. And I know that there is a large population of Filipinos working in the super yacht industry. And what I've heard is that they keep to themselves and they don't really integrate or socialize with the rest of the crew so much. So I'm not too sure if that assumption is correct. You can let me know if it isn't, but can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yes, actually Filipinos are very family and relationship orientated. So they do tend to have, to want to form relationships, whether that's at work, whether that's at in their neighborhood, let's say. So they do tend to have a bigger circle than, let's say, Europeans do, but they will keep their personal problems to themselves. They won't share as much. There is a value in the Filipino culture, and that's saving face. So asking for help, unfortunately, in the Filipino culture, it's not that common, because there's still a stigma in asking for help, because that, in their eyes, seems as if they're weak, which I'm sure you will agree, Karen, with me. Asking for help is actually very, very brave, because it's you understanding that you might be feeling challenged, and you recognize that. So you have this self-awareness, the emotional intelligence, as you said, to recognize that there is a problem and you're doing your best to solve it, forgetting about your pride or your ego. But unfortunately, despite the fact that Filipinos want to be in relationships, whether that's friends, colleagues, or families, they will not share the problem. So they will put this mask on, as you said, and pretend that everything is fine. They will not ask for help, even if there's a serious problem. So I think that's where the problem lies, that they, the Filipinos, believe that asking for help is shameful, and that they lose face in their community. They will be seen as weak.
So what would you suggest in terms of their fellow employees to better support them and make them feel more comfortable in reaching out for help? I know that it's not going to happen overnight. It's part of the culture and building a culture, which takes time. But what recommendations would you suggest?
The top recommendation for this situation is to build a personal relationship with that person. And that's when they will start, when you start building rapport, they will start showing you trust, and they will have more possibilities to open up to you. So building a personal relationship with that person, and when it's time for you to discuss, when you see that most probably there's something going on with a colleague, then as soon as you feel that the trust is there in your relationship, then a one-to-one conversation is vital. Never ever discuss anything like that in front of others, because again, we're going back to what we said earlier, to save face. They will not admit it in front of their peers. But if, let's say in a casual coffee, in a casual lunch or whatever that is, you're discussing and there is trust there, there's rapport, that's the Filipino feels that there is a relationship, they might feel more comfortable with disclosing what is troubling them.
Fantastic. Great tips. So in terms of the Greek culture, would there be a different approach? Are they more comfortable, you said, in asking for help?
Yes. The Greek culture is more straightforward, and there is no shame in asking for help. There might be an element of ego there, and pride, but it's not, there's no stigma in asking for help within the Greek culture. That we're more open in discussing problems, in asking questions, which is actually something that the Filipinos avoid to do. So if there is something, if there's an order or a project to be done and the Filipinos don't understand what they have to do, they will not ask a question. While Greeks are very open to actually saying that they haven't understood, and they're open to asking questions. I think, again, it's the culture, like there's no shame in asking a question with the Greeks. What I would say is that in the Greek culture, there is people who are in a more higher position, hierarchically, sorry, that's a Greek word, and I cannot say it in English, in the hierarchy, when they are more seniors, they might feel that it's not, they might avoid asking questions, and that comes in the seniority, because they might have in their mind that because they're more senior or because they are older in age, they should have known. So that's where there's a slight similarity with the Filipino culture. But in general, we are more open. I say we because I am half Greek, half Filipina, but I was born and raised in Greece. So I do tend to behave in a more Greek way, and you can see it because I move my hands a lot.
Yes. Well, you know what it sounds like to me? That it's intergenerational. So that belief system has trickled through the generations, and it's about supporting them and having those conversations on the importance around asking questions and asking for help. And that takes an investment of time. And your employees need that, but we work in a culture where it's about efficiency. We don't have time. People take too much time. It's too much admin work, interpersonal conflict. Oh my gosh, no, just you deal with it yourselves. And I don't want to know about it. And you can't operate like that.
Definitely not. And again, in the Filipino culture, their sense of timing is more flexible. So they don't have these, let's say, the time of sense that the English people have, that are, they're very punctual. If you say that at 1 o'clock you're going to do something, you do show up at 1 o'clock. The Filipinos tend to be more flexible. And that's because the whole way of living is more flexible. And an example that can be shared and for you to understand, or for the listeners to understand, whether a culture, a country is more flexible or more punctual regarding time, is to see how their whole system works. For example, in the UK, all the buses, all the trains, all the tubes, they come specifically on the minute that the announcement says. So if the train is supposed to come at, let's say, 1:07, believe me, the train will be there at 1:07. It's very, very specific, and this schedule is being followed. So that shows that the whole system that they live in is based on that sense of timing. You do things when you're supposed to do. In the Philippines, though, it's completely the opposite. The timings of, let's say, the public transportation is not that punctual, if I can say. The people are more relaxed. If you have an appointment, it is okay to be a little bit late. And actually, if you say that you have an appointment or you can come to someone's house at 12 and you come at 12, it can be perceived a little bit rude. Yes, because they feel that, okay, you didn't leave me time to get prepared. So again, it's understanding the environment that you are entering. So if you're coming as a tourist, let's say in the Philippines, then you have to adapt. Even, and more importantly, if you're working with Filipinos, you have to understand them.
Yeah, that is such a good example. Gosh, so much meat there and lots to process.
Yes.
Yeah, this is fantastic. So powerful and so important to bring to our consciousness about what the other may be experiencing or how the other's perspective on life may be a bit different. So thank you so much, Kate, for your time. And
my pleasure.
How can people consume more of your content? Where can they find you?
Well, my favorite social platform, and that's where they can find me, is LinkedIn. So if they type in my name, Kate Polanu, they will see me there. The content that I put out is about cross-cultural communication, and hopefully they will find information that they can use so they can help their relationships within their work environment, and maybe, who knows, maybe their personal environment as well.
Perfect. And hopefully, perhaps you never know, you could save a life knowing this information.
Yes, I think that's the end goal. That's a bigger picture, to prevent situations, especially those that involve human elements and actually human beings, to prevent situations that can be harmful, that can affect the lives of so many people. And that's, again, as we said in the beginning, it is preventable. It's just a matter of recognizing the need and understanding that if we take a proactive approach, it's way better than actually waiting for things to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Kate, for your time. And I look forward
to it. Thank you.